You are listening to the 1% Christian, the daily Bible study where we get together for 1% of our day. We study God's word, and then we head out to the remaining 99% to do something amazing with this life that God's given us. I'm Pastor J.D. Ambrosio with Sound of Heaven Church in Deer Park, New York. I invite you to check us out at soh.church. While you're there, download our free mobile app. There's a digital Bible. There's an online community. There's all of our teachings. It's a great resource to take with you everywhere you go. And if you're listening anywhere where you get your podcasts, like, share, subscribe, turn on your notifications. We don't want you to miss anything as we go through our study of the Gospels. Right now we are in Matthew chapter 26. And we're going to be in Matthew chapter 26, verse 31 through 35 today. Hope you are all having a blessed day. I'm excited to share with you. Last week, looked at the Last Supper, right? We looked at the betrayal of Jesus. And all of this is unfolding, right? He's having some of the people that are closest to him betray him. And although all of that is going on, where many of us would kind of stop in our tracks, Jesus did not stop. He's planning the Passover, and he's planning for ultimately what will be his arrest, crucifixion, and let's not forget about the resurrection. Without the resurrection, there is no Christianity. Without the resurrection, there is no destruction of death, ultimate forgiveness of sin, and the promise of eternal life. Amen? Amen. So when we studied the Last Supper, we hit on three key points, right? So let's just first hit this. Jesus calls out Judas. He makes this announcement at the beginning of the dinner, says, somebody here is going to betray me. All of the disciples, you know, get up in arms about that, and they say, not me, Lord, not me, Lord. And then, of course, Jesus points out Judas. And we see in the other Gospels that Judas kind of takes off after that, and the disciples stay. And Jesus continues through what we know as communion, and that's where we left off. And we hit on three points. Jesus gathered them together. And it's so important for us as Christians to fellowship, to gather together. And when we do, especially around the table, to remember, right? That was number two, that they remembered what Jesus was about to do, right? You say, well, how do they remember what he was about to do? Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. He's showing them, right, to come together in communion and to remember what Jesus had done for them. Right? So he was kind of laying out the groundwork for what was going to make a very strong church as we get into the book of Acts, which is our next study. And they left all singing hymns together, right? So they gathered when they were at the table. They didn't talk politics. They talked about the things of God, the kingdom of God. And they left united, right? Leaving united. That is such an important aspect for a winning team, right? Even if you come to the table with differences, that you leave united behind a mission, okay? So now that brings us into and walking toward the Garden of Gethsemane. We will be there tomorrow, so I won't spend too much time on it, okay? But Gethsemane is that place where we see the kind of fullness of the anguish as Jesus remains strong in the flesh, as he is facing, you know, what is going to be a very, very difficult time, okay? But before we get there, we have to address Matthew 26 through 31, right? All of the disciples just were sitting around the table, and when they heard that Jesus was going to be betrayed, they couldn't believe it. They couldn't believe that anybody within their midst would go ahead and betray him. And they said, couldn't be me. But the bottom line is they would all ultimately fall short, which we will study out as well. Matthew 26, 31 through 35. Let's get started here. And then we'll come back and go through this. Verse 31, then Jesus told them, this very night you will all fall away on account of me. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. Peter said, even if I all fall away on account of you, I never will. Here comes Peter, the overzealous Peter. We all love Peter, right? Peter is inspirational in that he made some mistakes, Peter, right? But Jesus loved him anyway. So Jesus predicts that all the disciples will fall away. He says, you will all fall away and betray me. And again, Peter steps up, right? This word fall away is the Greek word skandaliso, and it's Greek for stumbling block or something that causes you to stumble. We've seen it in other parts of Scripture. I believe it's where we get the word scandal, right? So Jesus expresses to them that this very night, you will all fall away. Now, Jesus didn't single out anybody in particular. He said all, okay? And then he goes on to talk about and emphasize a prophecy that was being fulfilled, and that is from the book of Zechariah. Zechariah wrote many years before, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. We know that's exactly what happened. Jesus gets arrested, he gets crucified, and there's only a few that are hanging around. Everybody else bolts, including the overzealous Peter. And I have to often think it must be pretty fascinating. I wonder if they totally got it, that Jesus is saying that the books of the prophets, what is being written in what was written in Scripture, is being fulfilled through you, and by you I mean them, right? That must have been just a fascinating thing for the disciples to be thinking about. But maybe they weren't. Maybe they weren't thinking about it at the time. As a matter of fact, we see that they get pretty upset when Jesus says that you're going to kind of fall away on me. You're going to turn your back on me tonight. So again, here comes Peter. Let's look at the words of Peter. And he says, he throws everybody else under the bus. He says, even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. He's really denying his even potential to stumble. Let's continue reading and see what he says. He doubles down on it. Jesus says, truly I tell you, this is verse 34. Truly I tell you, Jesus answered, this very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. Now, the Romans had four watches, right? And they would call the third watch overnight the, Gallinicium? I butchered that pretty good. I had it written down here. I don't know where it is. But basically what it means is the hour that the cock crows, right? So Jesus is telling him that by the time the rooster crows three times, you are going to deny me. And Peter isn't having it. He says, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. Oh, Peter. Peter, you ever put your foot in your mouth? You ever make such a definitive statement that like, and then it doesn't come true, and then you're like, oh, I shouldn't have been that. Now, it's one thing to be confident, right? It is certainly something to be overconfident and overjealous. He's almost at this point rebuking Jesus, and we see him do this before. We see it when he tells Jesus that basically you're not going to the cross, no way. And Jesus has to turn around and say, get behind me, Satan. But what this encourages me with, right, is that we see the disciples' humanity and their struggles that are often very similar to our own. Peter has an overestimation of his own strength and honestly an underestimation of Jesus's knowledge. We look at the scripture, I can do all things, right? But we forget it says I can do all things through Christ. And also we often have, right, blind spots in our own life when it comes to our own faults. But God already knows our faults, and he loves us anyway. He already knows our falls prior, and he loves us anyway. In our last episode, I talked about a time where someone encouraged me with the scripture 1 John 3:20 and 21, which basically says, in a nutshell, that we condemn ourselves, but God doesn't condemn us. That we condemn ourselves, but God is greater than our hearts. He knows everything. Our own hearts condemn us, but God's greater than our hearts. He knows everything. And if we would just stop condemning ourselves every time we make a mistake, or condemning ourselves indefinitely after we make a mistake, we can come before him in confidence. Most of the time, we lack confidence because of times where we were too prideful and overconfident and overzealous and going into things without really heeding the word of God. And that's exactly what Peter's doing here. He's not heeding the words of Jesus. And I think about it as a parent, right? I want my children to be able to approach me despite all their mistakes. And often I warn them of things, say, hey, don't do that. You're going to hurt yourself. And then they say, nah, that's just dad. And then I don't want them to hurt themselves. I don't want them to make mistakes. But sometimes we have to make mistakes so that we learn. Sometimes we have to make mistakes just because it's part of our life's mission to have a testimony. And you can't have, I'll use a Christian cliche, you can't have a testimony without a test, right? And you got to fail some tests sometimes to know how to pass them on the next time. So if I, as an imperfect parent, don't want my children to fall, how much more does a perfect God not want his children to fall? Or when they fall, love them through that, and then use that as an example, right? I have to imagine that throughout Peter's ministry in life, as he was, you know, dealing with new converts in the early church, he had to remember some of his own follies there. And that's, I just want to encourage you with this today, because Peter, again, super overzealous, and I love this. I do not want to skip over this. I want to read this, right? Jesus says, verse 34, truly I tell you, this very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. And then Peter comes in again. He says, even if I die, I will never disown you. And then I didn't read this before. It says, and all the other disciples said the same. So they all start jumping in with solidarity. But if you want to be real, I think they're jumping in self-defense in some ways, right? Because Peter said, even if all these guys fall, I won't fall. So of course they're stepping up now and saying, I won't. And we know that they all did. They all did to some degree. Peter himself, which we'll read, denies Jesus three times, just like he said, but we'll get into that. But here's what I want to encourage you with and leave you with today, okay? Acknowledge your weaknesses. Be willing to seek out your weaknesses. I'm not saying celebrate your weaknesses, but I mean maybe to some degree, because even the Apostle Paul said, where I am weak, he is strong. See, at the end of what you can do, where your weaknesses begin, becomes the infinite possibility of everything that God can do. I'll say that again. At the end of what you can do begins the infinite possibility of everything that God can do. So I challenge you to ask God about your personal vulnerabilities. Ask God about the personal blind spots that you have so that you can address those. Just understand this, that God is never surprised by your mistakes. He knows your falls and he knows your faults before it happens. And he still makes a way, doesn't he? He still makes a way. Nothing surprises him. So rely on God's wisdom, his love, and honestly, his gentle correction. Peter basically says, no, Jesus, that's not true. I'm not going to do that. And then he does. And as always, Jesus is always proven right. But that's what we need to do. Acknowledge our weaknesses. challenge ourselves to ask God. Say, God, what are my vulnerabilities? Chances are we know some of them, and then there's some of them that we don't know. This is why it's important to get around people that you can trust as well, people that you can have point these things out, mentors in life. That's the whole essence of discipleship. But just understand that God's love and his wisdom are greater than anything we could ever come up with ourselves, and his correction is gentle. He's a gentle God. Amen? Amen. So that's what I want to encourage you with today, that God loves you deeply. He loves you deeply, and he sees your faults, even when you don't. He knows when you're going to stumble, and he makes a way for you. The key is, after you stumble, to continue on the course with him. And in a few days, we're going to talk about kind of the difference between two disciples, Peter and Judas, and the two very different paths that they took. Take the path of Peter. Even though you stumble, you get back up. So let's pray. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we just pray for the humility and the courage and the insight to acknowledge our personal weaknesses. It's a Monday here, real time, maybe not when you're listening, but a lot of us start the week off not so great. We make mistakes, right? Just understand, you're going to make mistakes, but God's there. Seek his guidance. Father, we seek your guidance and your wisdom to overcome the challenges. And we ask for attentiveness, our own attentiveness to your voice, that we can learn from the experiences where we fall. And we pray for a deeper understanding, God, of your all-knowingness, your omniscience, that's the word, and your unconditional love. Like I said, it's a Monday. And we just pray for strength. Right now, I just say, God, give me strength so that I can rely on your guidance, so that when I fall, I can be confident that you'll pick me back up. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. I'm Pastor J.D. Ambrosio, Sound of Heaven Church, Deer Park, New York. Check us out, soh.church. We're going to continue through Matthew chapter 26 with the Garden of Gethsemane tomorrow. Go out and do something amazing for Christ's sake. This is the 1% Christian. 100 starts with one. Let's get out there and let's be Jesus. Love you guys.